All right, so welcome to another episode from the most inconsistent YouTuber slash podcaster that there is on planet Earth. But I have a good one, something that God laid on my heart. So just for you guys, your understanding, I'm not going to be doing every Thursday podcast, at least until graduation. God willing, I get through nursing school. It is the most brutal experience I've ever been in my life, even beyond the military, even beyond parenting. But I'm going to, as the topic is laid on my heart, I'm just going to put it out there. Because when I try to aim for a Thursday, life gets hectic, work, children, family, XYZ, and then I end up not doing it. So I'm just going to do what it is that I feel as though God's come here to do. Whether it's a Monday, a Thursday night, a Sunday morning, you didn't get to make it to service that evening, and you popped open a podcast, hopefully I could point you back to Jesus. Or you're driving, whatever, you just needed something to listen to. So maybe one episode a week, three in a week, or maybe just one for the entire month. But whatever it is, we're going to try to find some form of balance. But something God laid on my heart that I wanted to talk about, and it's from the topic of they don't understand. Have you ever tried to speak to someone and it seems as though you're speaking a foreign language to them? Well, many of you, like say you're Spanish speaking and you're trying to ask for directions, but you're asking me and I don't speak Spanish like that. There was a time when I was deployed and we went to about 13 Spanish speaking countries, and my job is to do patient care to people who don't speak English. So it was extremely weird. I'm trying to make sense of stuff, and they're looking at me like, dude, what are you talking about? You know, there was a time when I think I was trying to ask the patient, are you in pain? And I think it's something like, ¿tienes dolor? And apparently, I think I was saying color. And instead of me asking them, are you in pain? I was asking them, are you hot? And one of the nurses was laughing at me. She was like, you just asked the patient, are you hot for me? And that would make perfect sense as to why the guy was looking at me as though I was a weirdo or I maybe made a pass at him. So that's a story that hopefully that part doesn't go viral of the episode. But when you're trying to speak with someone and they don't understand you or they're not grasping what you're trying to tell them, it can make that a very difficult process. Like when I'm talking with my toddler, and even when he does listen, he doesn't get why I'm telling him don't do this or why I'm telling him to do something. So it's possible that he'll listen at the moment but won't grasp the point of it. And it's like speaking, you know, like when you're in a foreign country, whatever, we all have times where we're trying to speak to someone, you know, and trying to explain, hey, bro, I know you're able to travel to Africa next week, you know, just on a whim, but I have a life. You know, that friend who's always on vacation, even though you don't know where they work, or the friend you know where they work and you're sure you make more money than them, and yet they're in Aruba. And they're in Barbados, they're in every country, and you're just trying to figure out where are they getting this kind of money from, you know? And it's like, there's some people when you try to explain certain things to that they just don't understand where you're coming from. And I think it's very much possible that this becomes a hard task for us believers trying to explain spiritual things to unspiritual people, for lack of better terms. It's not a matter of trying to be rude, but, you know, unsaved people, trying to explain why we do things that we do. And, you know, that's been a downfall of mine. Many times I realize when I've sinned or I'm compromising or I'm laughing at jokes that I shouldn't or just trying to fit in, it's always me trying to not make people feel uncomfortable with why I'm doing what I'm doing. You want to hit up that bar, that club, that party, and I don't do that anymore. The lifestyle God has called me to. If you're a Christian and you still do those things, you might want to pray about it because it may not be beneficial to your spiritual growth. That's my opinion when looking at the scriptures. However, you know, when you're trying to explain to someone who doesn't know Jesus and doesn't understand spiritual darkness and doesn't understand that there is demonic activity in certain environments, they may look at you like, so because you're Christian, you don't listen to music? Because you're Christian, you can't hang out? Because you're Christian, you're too good for us. That's the things you start to hear. And then eventually you cave in. All right, I'll just take one drink. After all, drinking is not the sin. Being drunk is. You know, that's how we try to convince ourselves. And we start making up all of these things. In reality, we're doing it just so people won't look at us like we're weird. At least myself. If you can relate, then I want you to comment that in the chat. Like, there's been times where you've compromised because you felt like you were being an outcast. You were the only person at school in a skirt. You're the only person at school who didn't curse. You're the only person on the job who's not getting drunk at happy hour. You're the only person who you're not cheating on your spouse. You're the only person who, when everybody's hanging out, nobody's sleeping around, man, we're just going to the club, and you're the only girl. It's just like, that's not my scene. Everybody's sleeping around, and you're the only dude saying you're saving yourself for marriage. Like, hey, is this guy, you know, playing on the other team? You know, that's something that people accused me of when I was younger because the convictions I had. It's so easy for the world to, it's not that they're trying to manipulate you, but it's so easy for the world to misunderstand you. And the Bible makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Guys, I want to make it clear for you. Only spiritual people can understand what the Spirit means. The Bible tells us clearly that person is not going to understand your devotion to God if they're not spiritual. That person is not going to understand why you don't want to do certain things if they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. And let's also bring this into the church now. I'm going to step on some toes, you know, God forgive me. But you want to date someone just because they go to church often, but they're not spiritual. So when it comes to the things you're doing for your own consecration, your own devotion to God, all of these things, they do not support it because the Bible tells us clearly they can't receive the things of God because you have to be spiritual to receive them. And not even everyone in the church is spiritual. And I don't want y'all in the comments like, I knew it. I knew he was a heathen. I knew she was a sinner. Don't be in the comments with a negativity because that's true. And many of us fall into these situations. So in my opinion, it's very silly of us to expect someone who doesn't know God personally to understand why I do what I do. It's very foolish of me, Tavares. You don't want to party. You don't want to drink. You don't want to do all these things. But I'm not doing it because I'm boring. I'm doing these things or abstaining from certain things. Or, you know, like the Bible says this in 2 Timothy 2:22, to flee youthful lust, but it also says to pursue after righteousness. So somebody may understand why you don't want to have sex before marriage, but they're very confused at why you're pursuing after the things of God. What do you mean ministry? What does that even look like? What are you saying? Because spiritual things can only be understood from that mindset of someone whose mind and heart is renewed. And a lot of people, they don't have a renewed mindset. And I know a lot of you may think, some people probably thought, well, this ain't got nothing to do with dating. No, it has a lot to do with dating because you can't date someone who's not spiritual and expect them to honor what God has called you to do. So God tells you to abstain from fornication and pursue a holy life. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 tells us to abstain from fornication, for it is the will of God for you. So if God is telling you to do that, someone who doesn't care about the will of God, what does that have to do with me? Why? I don't need to join you. And then you're mad or you're offended because they're like, well, I'm going to leave. And now a lot of people compromise to keep that man, compromise to keep that woman. When you don't realize that they're not spiritual, and that's why they never understood it. And you need someone with the same mindset so that when you're tempted to sin, you don't, because they're holding you up. They can hold you accountable. They can pray for you. They can move away the temptation out of the relationship that can be a stumbling block. You know, so we have to be careful because it's very easy, you know, a lot like I'll use this as an example. Because I had some friends, you know, try to call me a Pharisee because of not doing certain things. And they thought it was because of the church that I went to. And when I stopped going to that church and started going to a different one, I still did the same thing and believed the same thing. And it was just like, you guys think I'm doing certain things, practicing certain things in order to be a pastor? Listen, the Bible calls us to honor our pastors, submit to our pastors, but he calls us to serve God ultimately. So will you have convictions that even when the people that are around you, close to you, family, people that are even at church don't grasp what you think or why you're doing what you're doing, you have for yourself. I'm telling you, like all the time, I can only from my experience, but I know what it means to try to compromise in order And it backfires single time. You hurt yourself, you hurt your future, you hurt the ministry that's trying to birth within inside of you. Anything that you should be compromising on. The Bible tells us, I'm gonna read a few verses for you. Peter 4, verses 1-5. It said then, Since Christ suffered physically, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have hurt physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your life chasing. But you will be anxious to the will of God. You have had enough of the evil things that godless people will enjoy. Immorality and lust, their drunkenness and wild parties, terrible worship of idols. Of course, your friends are surprised when you no longer plunge flood of wild and destructive view. So they slander you. But remember, they will have to face God. Who stands to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. Again, that's 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 5. When I read these verses, it's very encouraging. Because in my mind, many of us were people pleasers. We're trying to make this so palatable for the world. You know, so we compromise on righteousness. We compromise the things that God convicts us about so we don't push them away. And God is looking like, are you going to reject me for people? Let me show you guys how serious God, his teachings and God concerned everyone being happy. The goal is holiness, because holiness leads to true joy. Happiness is momentarily. It's based on circumstance. The situation is not great. You're not happy anymore. But God wants to give you everlasting. Look at this. In John 6, Jesus is running a church of about some people, give or take, maybe more, whatever. And that's because he just fed the 5,000 people that aren't numbered because they don't count all women, all the children. So it's thousands of people in this church, and Jesus gets up and he put a message that they think cannibalism. Hey, if you don't eat my flesh and blood, there is no life within you. And people are uncomfortable. You ever been in church, and they start saying something, and you're like, "Where is he going with this? Because this ain't it." When somebody invite you to their church, and the pastor sound a bit off, the people start looking like, "Hey, that miracle was great. Not a fan of his sermons, and that should be encouraging preachers who you start saying what the people say because you want to be invited back to their church, or you start saying. You say things that you should be saying because you know that they're going to stop paying tithes and stop attending. They're not going to follow you anymore. We have to be careful. Everybody wants to be a preacher, but no one wants to say what God told them to say. Everybody wants to say what people want to hear. But some preacher that's listening to this that just got rebuked, and you know, God is gonna deal with you to get back your boldness in the pulpit. But despite all that, Jesus tells, eat my flesh, drink my blood. The people are uncomfortable. 5,000 people at a minimum, thousands of people left Jesus' church. Jesus looks at the disciples. Was like, "Hey, y'all about to leave too?" People are profound. He says, "And go where? Like, where am I supposed to go? You have the words of eternal life." So we see that Peter and the disciples, they probably had no idea what Jesus was referring to either, but they knew this guy had life within him. If you listen to his words, I will be saved. If I say his words, will be changed. Even when I don't know what this dude talking about, you never caught you to do something strange. It's like, I don't know about that, God. You know, like, God, you ain't telling me. You're not telling me to do that one. But all those people left. And just, he was proud of those 12. You know. But the issue is, he never ran at once. So yes, God is patient. God, Bible tells us, not his will that any should perish. However, The Bible also says that he didn't run after those who didn't like what he had to say. So I want you to understand that when you are obeying God, there is going to be people that are going to reject you. Rejection is sometimes a sign of doing what God called you to do. The Bible, a prophet is without honor in this country. Like, everyone else honors you, but when your name's like, nobody likes you. It's like no one accepts you. I know you feel rejected by your family, and I want you to hear me when I say this. they don't even have to understand why you're doing what you're doing. Many of you other religions and other beliefs us to follow who Jesus has called you to be, to pursue after God wholeheartedly. Now your family that has left you, you have relationships that are broken up. You have friends that talk about you. They left you in their group chats. They unfollowed you. You're like, God, well, what did I do wrong? And some did nothing wrong. He's telling you, God wants me to remind. They don't have to understand why you're doing what you're doing, because God is gonna reward you for this. Well done, thou good and servant. God wants us to be faithful when no one is supporting us. I'm not as active validating anymore because of school, but people see hundreds of thousands of followers. We had the opportunity to read a book. I don't have the book right beside. If you have not, please purchase our book. Show some support. If you're not going to read it, that's fine. Buy it. I believe the book will literally change the entire world if it gets into the hands of people that will grasp the concepts of biblical relationships. But when I started godly dating, I had friends. I don't want to say family support. For the most part, I think family supported. I had friends who never supported. They wouldn't follow it when it just started. Retweet anything. They wouldn't repost anything. They wouldn't share me in their stories. But all of a sudden, the book came out. And I'm not saying to like brag or anything like because me personally, I don't care about any of this attention that this stuff has brought. But everyone, what's up? Well, I'm so proud of you. Always knew you was gonna be something. Hey, what's up, cuz? I'm everybody's. And it's like, oh man, I always knew you were gonna do it. I'm so proud of what God in your life. You're so proud of what God is life that you never supported me. Not even now. And family members don't even follow. It's just like, but you're proud of what God is doing in my life, but support it. I want you to understand, whoever it is that you God has called me to start a Bible study on my campus, who cares if people don't support you? You do what God called you to do. I like at my church, they have something called Sigh for Campus Ministry International and P7 clubs from down. And there's so many people for God. I've met some young people across the world who have started these Bible studies in their high school. They're winning souls in high schools. A friend of mine in Canada, I saw a post where as they told them you can't gather inside a school building. So they held a Bible study outside, and it looked like maybe 30 people gathered to hear the word of God from someone who was in high school. You think God can't use you? The reason why you that is because you want to be accepted by people. You're so worried about being a people pleaser. So worried about being accepted by the world. But the Bible tells us friendship with the world makes me of God. In James 4, don't strive to be a friend of this world. You aren't gonna understand. There's so many things people are not gonna understand that God is doing in your life. Celibacy until marriage, bro. What? Girl, you don't remember what it feels like? Like, she want you. What are you talking? Like, nobody's gonna find out. Yeah, ain't nobody gonna find out. I'll learn the hard way. People will find out. Keep yourself to yourself. But we think find out. Well, just once, because everybody else is doing it. Everyone else, but let me tell you what God wants you to do. Because I don't believe in following culture. I believe the word of God. Following the word of God, my goal. The word of God tells us, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, God's be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. This is why you can't be unequally yoked. This is why you can't just date anybody. This is why you can't just whoever's available. Because it doesn't matter how amazing sex feels if it has guilt, shame, and sin attached to it. You want to be cut, connected, emotional, spiritual, mental. Between you, your spouse, and God. So follow what people are doing. You used to be in the LGBT community, and now they're looking like, okay, you're church, but we know the truth. Listen, I'm not here. God is delivering somebody from that. I've seen God do deliver people from that lifestyle. I've met some people, man, I still struggle. Yeah, because if I still struggle and say, bro, I got to keep my mind pure after other women, not to text inappropriately, not to entertain other women, then obviously somebody who had that type of attraction can still struggle. We need to stop trying to bash these people. You know, cut the nonsense out. But then people are not going to understand, do it. But you know that in the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, don't you that those who do wrong will not in the kingdom of God. Don't fool yourselves. Don't indulge in sex, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or male prostitutes, or sexuality, or thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or abusive, or cheat people. None of these inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like, let me repeat that. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made right with God, by calling the Lord Jesus Christ and by this. So God's word is clear. There's people not entering into the kingdom of God if there's sin attached to them. Unless you repent, turn, allow God to forgive you. Allow him to wash you. Allow him to fill you with his spirit. I don't care what your pastor told you, or what your friends told you, or what you told you, or what your TikTok is telling you that doesn't even use scripture. They just twist a couple to get their points. None of these types of sins are entering into God. The Bible tells us, but such were some of us. We were like that. Oh, where to say that. You were cleansed. You were made holy. You were born again. And God created something new inside of you. Understand, you're not in the community anymore. That's good. Don't worry. Don't understand. Don't worry if they don't support you. You're immodest and now all your followers are gone. The engagement is low. No one is liking your picture that you're fully clothed. Now that bro is finally in a shirt and it's no gym guys who puts baby oil on before every workout video. No, now no longer live that foolish, promiscuous, that broken life because you don't need attention and validation from people. People are confused. Social media attention is gone. I can say the most things on social media, but if I'm fully dressed, as many likes as the other influencers who show off all the muscles and those types of things. But you know that the Bible says, clothe yourself with beauty that comes from within, no longer seeking attention within lifestyle. So understand that God is concerned about what you're doing out of obedience to Him, because it's not about anyone's approval. James 4:17 says, remember to hit it is sin that you ought to do and then not do it. That's when God convicts you of something. You don't have to wait until others catch on for you to obey what God has told you to do. Because God might have placed that conviction solely you, and then by disobeying him. Listen, disobedience is not going to happen. No, there's a once save, always save crowd. But you like to say, well, God will never turn his back on us. Well, of course, but you turned your back on God. You know what the Bible says when it says you're lukewarm, as soon as you're out of his mouth? You removed yourself. It's your fault. But God has given God commands. Hosea 1 and 2. Marry a prostitute. Isaiah 20, verses 1 through 4. God told Isaiah to walk around naked and barefoot. And he didn't tell him. Oh, you only gonna do that around. He made this man do that for 3 years, and a purpose for it. Now God ain't telling none of y'all, so I don't want to hear it. I want to hear it, and I want to see it on the town. Tell me, God told you to put on a thong bikini and do all that. I can tell you that, but God not tell us. Oh, dude, because your pastor is doing it. There are some times where we have to get back to the point where we have personal convictions. Not that other people have to follow it, but. You get personal convictions by spending. There's a meme circulating. A few people have sent it to me and asked me, but just like Tavares, what do you think about this? It's a girl. Modesty is subjective. Be led by the Spirit, whatever, or argue with the Holy Spirit. And she turned her comments off, which is very smart. Because while what you consider modest is subjective, we do know some things aren't objective. Nah. Some are blatantly immodest, attention-seeking, overly priced because you want to fit in or you want to look cool. Anywho, because I don't know if she's podcasting, I don't seem like I'm attacking her. I'm just making a point. Be clear that God can tell you crazy. In Mark 10:21, tells the rich young ruler to sell all that he has to the poor. So he tells him to sell everything to the poor, but we don't see Jesus telling him to do that. Why? Because God told you to see where his heart was. So you may think telling you to do something outrageous. If God is telling you to do something to test your heart, to test, well, Are you willing to give up Isaac for me, Abraham? Many of you, I want you not to, to leave this episode and think, okay, okay, cool rant, bro. All right, see you next time. I'll come back talking about sex and relationships. And no, many of us, we want God's relationship, and we have no life. We're going to fix that with this podcast, with channel. But what is it that God is calling to do specifically? And I want you to spend time in prayer and fasting this week or coming week and ask God, is there something that I haven't been doing because I wanted other people to understand or join? And then seek God and what he's telling you to give up. We have to get back to convictions in church. Because church is not a free fall. You see people dressed however, whatever, posting whatever, having whatever, podcast promoting whatever, whatever. There's doing everything, everything but promoting. It's like, and what going to be convicted to get back to this whole holy book? Spend more time in than you do on social media. I promise you'll have less anxiety, less perversion, less pride, less fear. All of these things decline in your life. What do I know? You know, I'm just a typical YouTuber who just pops up every once in a while. Guys, so much that we want to do. Trust me, the busiest season of life. The first people who are going to start getting our content back is going to be Patreon. It's not going to be this month. It's going to be next start to take off. So if you want to support this channel on Patreon, definitely appreciate all you guys. Listen to the end. Continue to pray for us and this family. We love you guys. Be seeing you. Hopefully next week. Hey, just stay engaged. Whatever. Reach out to us. We love you. Peace.